Hey, today I'm excited to launch this series. And I want to welcome, by the way, let's welcome our Boynton campus, by the way, here. Let's welcome our Lake Worth campus. Everyone at Church at Home that's wrapping up their traveling, by the way. And I'm really excited about this series because in many ways, my heart is to encourage and empower all of you to begin to understand how much power God has actually given you to create and live in a flourishing life. Like, what did Jesus tell us? Hey, I've come to give you life and life to its abundant, most abundant form. Like, I just want us to understand that you, wherever you are in life right now, I want to encourage you. You have been given power by God to transform your life. And so I want to start out by kind of looking a little bit about creation. This summer, I had the privilege, while we're kind of getting back into our house, running out of our house, we're like, hey, we don't really have a home right now, so we don't really want to be there. So we're going to travel a lot. So we had the privilege to go out and see Colorado, Tennessee, and North Carolina over the summer. I got some pictures of this on the background here. This is my family and I. We were on a horse we're literally going up a mountain to eat dinner, which was kind of cool. My wife's horse went down into the river and fell in the river on the way to that dinner. And note to yourself, by the way, before you take a journey like this, you should check the price of dinner on top of the mountain. Because when you don't and you get there, you can't go anywhere else. You're stuck there. Lesson learned. Because it was the most expensive dinner I had in my life, and it was awful. Okay, my kids basically ate bread and Coke because it was like all this organic weirds, kind of like pheasant, quail, tacos and waffles, like just this weird stuff. But amazing. But you can look at some of the pictures and as look at this. Put the next slide up. This is my kids, of course, wrestling in the mountains of Colorado in the river. You go to the next slide right here, and you can just see my son there just surfing in Tennessee. But one of the things that struck me as this summer, as we got to see so much beauty all around us, is that when God created the world, he didn't just create some boring thing. Like, he didn't just create something we can just live in like a desert. He didn't just create something that was okay. No, he built magnificent beauty for all of us to enjoy. Like, he kind of showed off at the mountains and the streams and the ocean. And he created something that was so beautiful and so amazing. And listen to this, not just creating in nature, the way he created you and me. Do you realize that every one of you have a DNA that is a unique genetic code that is different from anyone that has ever lived or will live? And in that genetic code, you have around 3,000 pages of genetic information, all sequenced in the perfect order that made you, you. Oh, and by the way, even the most staunch evolutionist in the world that doesn't believe that God created it has no explanation for where that genetic information came from. In fact, every single thing that's taught in it assumes the fact that somehow this genetic code just appeared and they don't know how. There's been no scientific explanation for it. In fact, MIT did a mathematical probability of studying what would it take for this genetic codes and this information to create this new molecule. What would it be? And they said, you know what it's based on? Based on all the science we know, it's mathematically impossible. It's actually, ChatGTP just did this. It's one to the six to the one to the 10th power times 600 zeros. It's in every way, it's impossible. There's no explanation for it because you're fearfully and wonderfully made by this creator that designed you in his image, that created this world. And he is a magnificent creator. But here's why I say this. Here's what a lot of us don't realize. Did you know that even though God is a creator and he created you and created the world, do you know that he actually created you to create the world you live in? Amen. Like, I want you to look at this. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see something because when you get this, it gives you so much hope. And you realize how much God has empowered you. Look at what he says. So God created a human being in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So in other words, that you were made in the image of a creator. Why? Because you were created to create. That when you create your life, and by the way, that's that drive in you to create and build things. He goes, why do you think you have that? It's because you were designed in the image of creator, because you were actually empowered by God to create the life that you experience. Look, you see the same thing. Continue reading. Notice how I want you to see how much God empowered you to create. So then God blessed them and said, what? Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, I'll do that. No problem, Lord. All right. Fill the earth. Okay, what does it say? Govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Did you notice those two words, govern and reign? Did you know that God created the earth, and in God's plan, it wasn't God's role to rule and reign over the earth, it was yours? That God created mankind in this image, and he goes, Adam and Eve, listen, I'm a creator. I'm making you a creator. So you can go ahead, you can create your family. You can create the dynamic of your relationships. I'm gonna let you rule and reign over this earth. You can name the animals. I'm not gonna do it. You can actually build the systems and the infrastructure to flourish. God, I am giving you and empowering you with the ability to go create the culture and the life and everything that you experience. You see the principle? He continues. Look at this. I want you to see this over and over again in scriptures. So the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to what? To tend, to watch over it. Like, it's your authority. You get to do this, Adam. You get to do this, Eve. Why? Because you were created in the image of a creator, because I have empowered you and wired you to create and to build the life that you experience. He goes, but the Lord God warned him, right? That you may freely eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruit, you're sure to die. In other words, God's saying in one ways, Adam and Eve, I've given you the ability to create this amazing life. You can live what the tree of life is, which is what? Tree of life, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can stay connected to me. You can follow my way of life. You can have this relationship with me and we can flourish, but I'm also gonna give you this other ability. And to give you the freedom to create, I've also given you the freedom to create a life outside of me. I've also given you the ability to follow your own will and create your own world and create the own chaos and do things that aren't as beautiful and as good. Why? Because you're a creator. And what I want you to understand is you were made in the image of a creator, and I gave you and empowered you the ability to create. And so Adam and Eve, you get to choose. You get to create the world that you live in. By the way, and they did. They created the world that they lived in. Here's what I want you to understand. You see, when you understand how you were designed by God and created by God to create, it's so important to understand. And here's what I want you to see. See, God created us to partner with us to create the world that we live in. God created you and wanted to partner with you to create, that giving us the ability with his help to create the world. Now listen, does God have a part to play in that? Absolutely, there's a part that God plays, right? And what is that part? God says, I'm gonna create the spiritual laws. I'm gonna make sure Satan can't touch you because there's a whole spiritual realm you don't even worry about, but I'll take care of that. I'm gonna create the soil. I'm gonna go ahead and make sure that the moon is the right distance of the sun, and the gravitational pull of the moon is gonna create tidal effects that oxygenate the oceans. I'll do that. I'll send the rain. I'll create the sun. I'll give you the DNA. I'll give you the ability to actually create life. I'm gonna give you authority over the animals. I'm gonna do all of these things. I've got a part to play. But guess what, Adam and Eve? You also have a part to play. You get to rule and reign. You get to create the systems. You get to create, I'm gonna create the spiritual laws and the biological laws and the physical laws, and the natural laws. I'm gonna be there with you. We'll do this together. It's a partnership. But Adam and Eve, listen, I'm giving you the ability to choose what kind of family you have. I'm gonna give you the ability to name the animals. I don't want to rule the earth. Your job is to rule the world in my image. I want to rule it through you. So I'm going to empower you to create the life that you live. And his heart was to long to have them create this life, to follow him and to be close to them and to help them flourish in everything. Why? Because you were created by God to partner with God to create. In fact, you could say it like this. You were created by God. Put the next slide up. You were created by God to partner with God to create an amazing life. Like, what I want us to understand, because it's so important for us to realize that God is not saying to us, hey, Adam and Eve, hey, good luck. You just figure this out on your own. Just, you know, go do the work. I'm out of here. No. God says, no, it's a partnership. I'll do my part, but listen to this. But you do your part. In other words, it's not Adam and Eve sit back and I just want you to pray. And while you just sit back and pray, I'm going to rule the earth. He says, no. I want you to understand something. You were created by a creator in the image of a creator. And I've empowered you with this ability and this desire to create. By the way, this is why there's something in our DNA that wants to build things, right? You ever notice we want to build a company, build a family, build a legacy, build a difference, because that's something that is divine that God gave you. And I think sometimes what we forget, and we have this idea sometimes, that we have this idea that like heaven is going to be this place where we're like sitting on clouds, like with harps. You ever get that imagery? And you're just singing songs all day? Can I tell you, that's not what heaven's gonna be like? Do you know that actually that your end destination isn't even going up to heaven? Do you know what God says the end destination is? That God actually brings heaven to earth. That the city of Jerusalem, that where God, the city of God up in heaven will actually come down to a brand new earth, because at the renewal of all things, God's going to recreate, in essence, the Garden of Eden. And that's where we will spend eternity with God, not on a cloud. And he actually tells the disciples, hey, at the renewal of all things, when I do this, I want you to understand something. Because you created my kingdom on this earth, you're going to be 12 kings that are going to rule kingdoms in the new heaven and the new earth. In other words, how we create the lives that we create in this life that we've been given will actually determine the positions we expend and the lives we create in eternity over and over again. Because God, from the very beginning, designed you to create, to build a life that brings honor to him and glory to him, brings fulfillment to you. And by the way, you don't just see this in Adam and Eve. You see this all throughout the Bible. What about the nation of Israel? For God rescues the nation of Israel. I want you to see once again, I want you to see that there's a part God plays and there's a part that they play. But once again, he empowers them with the ability to go, I want you to create your future. I want you to create the kind of homes you live in, the society that you live in, the families that you live in. Look at what the Bible says. I love this. If you, this is your part, right? If you fully obey the Lord your God carefully and follow all of his commands I give you today. What is that? That's your part. See what he says? Like, hey, I have a part to play. You're gonna see this, but you've got a part to play. And your part to play is you're gonna fully obey. You're gonna follow the way of life that I've called you to do. Now, what is God's part in their success? Your part, God's part. Then the Lord your God, not you, but the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. And all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if your part, you obey the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting? He's saying the same thing to them, in essence, he did to Adam and Eve. You have the ability to stay with the tree of life and live forever, and I'll bless everything. Or you have the ability to choose your own way, and then I'm not, and the wages of that is death. Nation of Israel, hey, listen, you were made by a creator to create a life, and so I want you to know something. If you will follow the way of life, if you will do what Adam and Eve didn't do, listen, I will bless everything you do. And I want you to see all the blessings. Look at God's heart for his people. Look at the life that he wants you to create. He goes, next verse, he says this, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. God says, I will bless your family, the crops of your land, I'll bless your business, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Keep reading. Look, I want you all the blessing. He says this, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come and blessed when you go out. God says, that's my part. Like he says, in this partnership, you've got a part and I've got a part. I want you to understand something. I've got a part to play. And what I love about this is this. He says, when you get your life right with me, your part, I will step into your life and I will bless everything that you do. And here's what I want us to see. You see, one of the things that people misunderstand with this is what we think is that what God is saying, hey, when you get your life spiritually, like when you go to church and everything and sing the right songs and read the Bible, everything's gonna be good. But what God is saying here is when you follow all of my ways, and what's interesting about God's word is the first five books of the Bible especially are very much not as much about heaven and just worship in a church. They actually teach people how to live. The word Torah comes from the root word yirah, which means to teach and instruct. And when God is saying, get your ways right with me, obey me fully, he's not just talking about worshiping in a church. He's talking about how you treat people that work for you. He's talking about how you loan money and the interest rates, by the way, that you charge. He's talking about how it is that you treat and who you marry and your sexuality. He's talking about, hey, taking a Sabbath day and remembering it's holy and resting for one day. But by the way, you still have to work six. In other words, you work hard in life. And like God didn't just say, I'm gonna transport you to the promised land and do everything for you. He goes, no. You've got a way of life. You gotta learn to rest the land and take the Sabbath and work hard. And I'm gonna teach you how to not be slave to the lender by spending more than you make. I'm gonna teach you the interest rate, how to treat people, how to do family and marriage and train up your children in the right way, how to build society. I'm gonna give you all of these values. Your part is to live life in line with my word. And my part is to, well, bless everything that you do when you do that. So even when you get right spiritually, what I'll do is I'll make naturally and supernaturally, I'll touch your life. In fact, I want you to see all the things that God says in his part. Look at this. It says, I want you to focus on it. The Lord will. You get that? Hey, you do your part, obedience, follow my way of life. And then says, here's my part. The Lord will grant that the enemies rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Now he's talking to a community of people, of a couple million people that have no army or weapons. And he says, let me tell you something. When you honor me, I will protect you because I have a host of angelic armies, hundreds of millions of them, by the way, that can wipe out any enemy in a blink of an eye. And he's almost understanding, when you get your part right, I promise you, I will protect you. Look, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord God will bless you in the land that he has given you. See, here's the Lord's part. He continues. I want to see all the thing God's doing in this partnership. Next verse. The Lord will, you notice that phrase? God says, my part is the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. I'm going to create the environments that allow you to flourish and have success. You will lend to many nations, but listen to this. You will borrow from none. Look at this one more time. Say that with me. What's the first three words? The Lord will. The Lord will. Next slide. Next slide. There you go. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. What's your part? If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on top and you will never be at the bottom. See your part? See what God's, you see the principle here? Then he continues the last one. He says this. He says, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Did you see the partnership? Did you see that God didn't say, hey, Israel, I'm your God, you're my people. Here's what I'm gonna do. You're gonna be here in Egypt, but what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna just transport you to the promised land, and there you go. I'm gonna wipe out all the inhabitants, all the evil that's there. You stay there. I'm gonna fight all your battles. I'm gonna do it all for you, and I'm just gonna transport you, like, boom, there you go. Now you're in the promised land, everything's there. That's not what God did it? Just like with Adam and Eve, he didn't say, hey, I create everything, just sit back and watch me do it. He goes, no, there's a partnership. And in this partnership, you got a part to play. And the part to play is walking in obedience and loving and following my way. And my part to play is to bless you beyond measure. But here's what I want you to see. This is really cool. Do you realize that the partnership that God invited us into, it's not an equal partnership. And this is what I want you to hear this. This hopefully takes some weight off some of you. That God is not coming into our lives and going, hey, guess what? You do 50%, I'll do 50%, and together we're gonna get there. No, what was God's part of the nation of Israel? God's like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send plagues, and I'm gonna, you know, go against your enemies of Egypt, and you just sit back. All you gotta do is just gonna, you know, slaughter the lamb, put the blood on the door, we're good, and I'm gonna go ahead, and I'm gonna fight all of your enemy battles for what they did for you, and I'm gonna send all these plagues on these people that hurt you. Oh, I'm gonna part the Red Sea. Okay, you just gotta walk across it. I'm gonna send manna from heaven to feed you. I'm gonna send quail from heaven to kind of give you that food. I'm gonna give you this cloud by day to cover the sun. I'm gonna give you fire by night to guide your direction. I'm gonna have angels that actually fight battles for you that you won't even lift your hands. I'm actually gonna have your enemies that are conspiring to come after you and kill you. I'm gonna turn them against each other and you won't lift hands, and they will fight all these battles against themselves and you'll walk away free. I'm gonna give you farms that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to slay giants on your behalf. I'm going to give you the wisdom to flourish when it comes to this life. You see, God's part is not equal with ours. Like, God was doing so, he was carrying so much more of the weight of their success. But guess what? They still had a part to play, didn't they? Over and over again, what did he tell them? What's your part? Hey, you need to, in essence, just obey me. So you need to surrender your ways to my ways. You need to do marriage the way that I called you to do marriage. Listen, I'll bless you with everything, but you need to take the first 10% and bring it to my storehouse. And if you will do that, I will bless you, by the way. And if you don't do that, he says, your whole nation will be under a curse. Others, if you don't follow, if you don't do your part, I'm not gonna do mine. If you don't do your part, I'm not, but if you will do your part, oh my gosh, I will open up the blessing. If you will walk in obedience, if you will surrender to me, if you will follow me, if you'll put me first and know other gods before me, and as you begin to honor me in your business and how you treat people and you worship me and you remember the Sabbath day and you keep it holy, and as you do these things, God says, I will open up the floodgates of heaven, and you will have not only the blessings of God, the armies of angels will fight for you, and I will give you lands you do not build, and I will bless everything in your life, because it isn't an equal partnership. And I say all this because it's so important for us to understand, as you look at the scripture, you see the same thing over and over again, where God is inviting us to not sit back and go, okay, God, I'm just gonna pray and you do everything. But to this partnership where God says, no. I created you to create. And so together, you're gonna have a part to play, and that's obedience, walking with me, and I'm gonna have a part to play, which is I'm gonna spiritually protect you, and I'm gonna bless you, and I'm gonna give you my wisdom, and I'm gonna have angels guard you and minister to you, and I'm gonna bless your hands and bless your work and give you favor with this person, and I'm gonna do all of these things. See, here's what I'm saying. See, God created, you can put this next slide up, is that God created you and then empowered you to create the culture, the environment, future, and relationships in which you live. That you, listen to this, I don't care, listen, no matter what you're walking through in life, I want to give you this hope, that God has empowered you to flourish in this life. Amen. In fact, what did Jesus say? I have come, John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to its what? Full. In other words, I want you to see that the invitation that God has given every one of you is, listen, God's like, I want to partner with you. Like, I, I'm not just an equal partner. I want to carry most of the weight, by the way, okay? Like, I want to have this partnership with you to help you live life to its fullest and abundant form. And by the way, I have a cattle on 1,000 hills. I've got the Spirit of God that can empower you. I've got angels that will fight for you. I've got a plan for you that's good. Like, I have all the, but listen to this, but you've got a part to play. That God is not here to simply take your future and just do it for you. God's not here simply to fix your marriage. God's not here to make your business successful. God's here and empowered you to honor him. And in the midst of you honoring him, you doing your part, God steps in and does so much more than we could ever think or hope or imagine. In fact, for any of you that find yourself in a situation where you're going, God, it feels like, if you know, where I want to be and the man I want to be or the woman that I want to be or the young man I want to be and the young woman I want to be seems so far, the life I want seems so far. I want to speak some truth over you, and I want you to hear what God has said to you and the partnership he's invited you into. And I want to give you some hope and encouragement. Look at this verse, because I think this verse is so powerful. Listen to this. By God's divine power, God has given us is what? You and me. So what? So by God's power, God has given you everything that you need for living a godly life. You have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now, I want us just to don't skip over that. What promise did God just tell you? That God gave you everything you need to flourish and be successful, to live the godly life. Amen. Meaning what? You already have it in your possession. Like when you gave your life to Jesus, I want you to understand that it may feel like overwhelming, it may feel like you're not enough. I just want you to understand a truth that you may not realize, is that I've already given you right now, every follower of you, I've given you everything that you need to become that person, to have that marriage, to have that future, to have that, you already have everything that you need. In fact, we'll put the next slide up. I want us to say this together. It's not there, so forget it. All right, ready? Put that slide up. Okay, yeah, there it is, ready? I want to say this together, ready? On the count of three, read this out. Boynton, Lake Worth, West Palm, everyone. I want us to read this out. I want you to hear you say this truth. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God already gave me everything I need to create an amazing life. That's truth. In fact, look at what God says next. I want you to see this next promise. It's so cool. You can put the next verse up. Okay. And because of his glory and excellence, listen, he has given us a great and precious, this is a promise. Not an opinion, not a maybe. God says, I'll bet my character and my word, and God cannot lie. Here's the truth about you. Ready? Here's the promise, right? These are the promises that enable you to what? To share in his divine nature and to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. God says, I want to tell you the kind of life and the person you could be. This is not some self-help, you can do it. This isn't like you can be a little bit better version of yourself tomorrow by working at it. He says, I've given you everything you need to actually share in God's nature, to be like Jesus, to walk with the love and the joy and the peace and the self-control and the power. Like, I want you to understand something, that I'm not just said, hey, you can, your parents were here, you can make it here. He goes, I want you to know that I've already given you everything you need to literally share in the divine nature and to escape the corruption of the world, to actually overcome your past, the issues that you face in your life. And I want us to understand this because it's so powerful for us to understand this, what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to realize something, that this partnership, that I've done my part. And when you gave your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God moved inside of you. And every single follower of Jesus now walking in this earth, and you've got the Spirit of God living in you. You've got authority over the enemy. You've got God's love and God's joy and God's peace living in you, partnering with you, fighting for you. You've got a host of heavenly armies, the angels that are ministering spirits sent to those that will inherit salvation. So God's got hundreds of millions of angels that are fighting on your behalf. You have God fighting on your behalf. You have access to the throne room of the creator of the universe. And God says, when you gave your life to Jesus, what you don't realize is, I know you don't feel it and there's still a lot of work to do. I get it. But I just want you to understand something. You have everything you need to actually share in the divine nature of God and escape the corruption of the world. That this idea and this feeling that you're not enough and that you can't, it's just not true. And God says, this is the part I played. I died for your sins. I created the way for Jesus through faith for you to be right with him. I moved my spirit in you. I gave you my grace. I gave you my nature. I have angels that are there at your disposal. I'm working all things for good, even the dark things in this life. I will do my part. Now, here's what I want you to see, because this is where I miss. This is where people mess up. This is where we miss it. Here's that. But I want you to see the next verse, because what you see in the next verse is a shift from all the things that God will do, his part, to your part, my part. And I want you to see, because there's three things I want to focus on that are your part of stepping into the life that God has for you and becoming the person that God created you to be. And let's look at those three things. He goes, so in view of this, because God's done his part, what's your part? You need to make every effort. Like, you don't sit back and let God do it. There's a part you have to play. You have to make effort to what? To respond to God's promises, supplement or add. This is your part. This is your responsibility. You need to add to your faith with generous provision of, and what's the first one? This is step one, moral excellence. What's moral excellence? You need to live your life the way God called you to live it. What is moral excellence? It's the same thing he told the nation of Israel, same thing he told Adam and Eve. In other words, he goes, hey, I will forgive you, and there's grace when you don't get this right, because none of us are going to be perfect. He goes, but you need to get on this journey. Your part is to add to your faith. All right, God, I've got to start living life the way you. So if you told me to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, I need to remember the Sabbath day, and I need to be in church every week, because that's what you called me to do. Hey, God, if you told me to don't stop meeting together, but I need to be in Christian community, maybe we call small groups, then you know what? I'm going to do that. That's moral excellence. Hey, God, you told me to tithe the first 10% of the church, so I'm going to start to tithe. You told me to not let the sun go down in my anger, so God, I'm going to forgive. You told me to wash my wife in the water of the word, so we're going to spend time praying and reading scriptures. You told me to train a child up in the way they should go, so I'm going to, you see what I'm saying? He says, hey, God's done all of these things for you, and he's so powerful and amazing, and he gives you all this hope. And listen, your part is to supplement, to add. Well, you got to start striving to bring your life in line with God. What's the second thing he says? And to moral excellence, you need to what? You need to grow with what? Knowledge. That knowledge is the word, is the intimate knowledge of God, or knowing who God is. You see, we can't rely upon simply this idea that God exists somewhere. We need to know his character. By the way, because you're never going to trust your life to a God you don't know. And as you find yourself in this life, knowing God's word is so important, because in that, by the way, the world is screaming so many things at us. It's telling you what beauty is and what value is and what makes you important or what sexuality is. It's telling you that more is going to make you happy. Like, all of the world is constantly flooding your mind. And if you don't fill your mind with God's word, if you don't really take the time to get to know his character and how much he loves you and his plans and his way, how will you even know what moral excellence is? Because what will happen is you will assume whatever culture said is good. And 90% of the time, what culture said is the opposite of what God says. And so he says, hey, listen, here's your part. God's going to do his part. Everything you need for life and godliness, the divine nature, the spiritual power, all this stuff. But you've got to grow in moral excellence, strive to be more like God. You've got to grow in your knowledge. And here's the third one. Put the next slide. And knowledge with what? With self-control. Meaning, in this process of growing with God, there's going to be moments as you read God's word or you're at church. What's going to happen is God's going to knock on your heart and say, hey, there's something in your life you need to surrender to me. See, God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. What that means is as we grow in our relationship with God and we get closer to him, he's gonna reveal there are some things you used to do that God's saying you're gonna now have to have the self-control to not do them. There's gonna be some desires in your heart or life where God's saying, yeah, you might desire it, but it's actually not good for you. It's actually bad for you. And your part is actually to surrender this area to God. Right? And what do you see? We continue. With self-control. And self-control with patient endurance, we have to push through because it's a process. And with godliness, brotherly affection with love for everyone. And then I want you to see how he ends it. Look at the end of this. Look, he says this. He says, the more you grow like this, now here's your part, but the more you grow in bringing your life into God's ways, more excellence. The more you grow in your knowledge of God, you're spending time in his word and knowing him. The more you're willing to practice self-control, which is me surrender your will to God. And do, he goes, the more you grow in this, what happens? The more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the more you do your part, the more God's gonna do his. Now, I get God's graceful and he is, and when we mess up, he still gives grace, and I love that about him. But what in essence, what he's saying is, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. I've given you this promise you can have my nature. Like, I've given you access to the throne room of the creator of the universe. I've adopted you as my child. I've got these plans for you, my good, pleasing, and perfect will. I've got angels that are battling for you. I've given you everything. But you gotta play your part. And if you will play your part in moral excellence, like growing and being right with God, if you will play your part in growing in knowledge of God, this is why it's so important to send kids to the student camp. They need to learn that relationship with God. They need to grow in their knowledge of God. And if you will begin to surrender the areas of your life that aren't right with God, he goes, as you begin to do this, listen, then you're gonna be more productive. God's gonna do more and more things through you because it's a partnership and it always has been. And there's too often in our lives that we're sitting back expecting God to do something for us, frustrated with him because our life isn't where it needs to be. And we're, God, where are you? Where are you? And God's saying, you know, where are you? Because I've done my part and I love you and I've given you grace and you've got access to all of these things. But if you don't open God's word, if you're not willing to follow my way of life, if you're not willing to surrender, well, I gave you the ability to create. And so what you are is you're actually creating a life separate from me. And because you have the ability to create, you're creating a path and a future that is separate from me. And the invitation that he's saying is, but I've given you everything, including the grace you need to start over. I've given you everything you need that if you will do these things will happen is, then I will step in and you will flourish in life if you get this right. And for some of you, listen to this, that feel like, man, I feel like I just can't do it, or I feel like so far away. Can I just encourage you? You have everything that you need.
Thank you, Lord.
Like, you have everything. Amen. Like do you, the invitation that God, he's like, listen, I want to partner with you. I want to partner with you to heal your marriage. I want to partner with you to flourish in business. I want to partner with you to flourish in joy. I want to partner with you in producing peace. Like I'm here and I want to do my part, but because I've empowered you to create, you have to choose to walk in moral excellence. You have to choose to grow in your knowledge. You have to choose to grow in your surrender. And if you will do that, you will do your, I will do mine. I was thinking about this, of just the power and the invitation that God has given all of us. And I started looking back and remembering just how I got to know Pastor Junior. How many of you love Pastor Junior, by the way, right? You can't know Junior without loving Pastor Junior. And so, I still remember meeting him, but I think it was a little over a decade ago, and he showed up at one of our campuses. We were still in a high school. We didn't even have a building back then. We were meeting in a high school, and he was actually in rehab, and he was battling a lot of things. And I was funny when he told me the story that he came to church not to come to church. He wasn't interested in God. He wasn't interested. No, he wanted free coffee. And he walked into our church building, and it was the Park Vista High School we were at, and he walked in that, and he met my father. And if you ever met my father, he leaves a lasting impression on you. He is one of the most loving, amazing men you'll ever meet. And those of you that met him know this. We get more stories from my dad, by the way, just the impact. He can peer into your soul, and he genuinely cares. And he has a way of just speaking life into you and all that. So he met Junior and just fell in love with Junior from day one. And so he started, like, just talking with him and encouraging him. And he, Scott, you got to meet this guy. And I remember taking him Pastor Junior to Cheesecake Factory, in the middle of rehab, right out of that thing. And I remember taking him to Cheesecake Factory more than a decade ago. And like you, the moment you meet Junior, you just go, wow, I remember speaking life in him going, you're special, buddy. Like, you've got a light in you. You light up a room. And man, God could use you to do so many great things, which, by the way, he has. And Junior has such a gift of love, and just God lights up a room. But the one thing, if you ever heard Junior tell a story, and he's told it many times from this platform, is that Junior grew up in a really bad home. Not just an absentee father, but even much worse than that. And he dealt with so much pain and so much rejection from his father, so many things, and he shared this story many times. And which is part of the why probably he was dealing with father wounds that led him to the addiction and the bondage and all of these things. And now that he's been free, I think 13 years sober, I think is what he said. Another testimony of God's power, what he can do. But Junior was getting ready to be a father. And I knowing his background and what he went through, I remember calling him up just to encourage him and congratulate him. And I said, I'll never forget this conversation with him. And I said, Junior, I just want to encourage you with something. Is that what I said to him is this. Is you realize that you get to create a brand new generational blessing that starts with you. Come on. I said, you get to create in your house what father means. You get to create a new legacy. You get to define what it means to be a husband and a father and a man of God. You get to take the Saint Val name and you get to redefine it. Why? Because God's empowered you to create. And if you know Junior over the last year, it's exactly what he's done with those amazing boys that he has. And I was thinking about this and thinking what an amazing influence now Junior is to tens of thousands of people all over the country speaking, and God has used him to transform his life. And this is what made me realize something, is that God's given every one of us the same exact invitation. There is no past that you can't overcome. There is no wound that someone else created in your life that you can't rise above. Like, God is giving you the ability to create. Like, I love this verse. I want you to, because this verse, it's going to sound bad for a minute, but I want you to see the life this can, the freedom this can give you. Look at this. It says, in those days, people will no longer say, this is God speaking. And God says, this is what people can't say anymore. That's this, that the parents have eaten the sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. He says, no longer will people want to blame their parents for who they become. Because you aren't defined by what they did. And just because your dad was something and your mom was something and your uncle was something, or even you used to be something, he goes, God says, no longer are gonna people look at their life and go, the reason why I'm the way that I am is because of what dad did, and I didn't have a mom and I had this or I had these. Now listen, it can become a crutch, but it doesn't have to be. He says, no, listen to this. He goes, for everyone will die for their own sins. Whoever eats sour grapes, their own teeth will be set on edge. In other words, you all get to create your own life. And for some of you, maybe you need to hear this, that your parents don't define you, that your boss does not define, your ex does not define you, that no one else has the power to create your future but you. That you have been empowered by God who loves you so greatly. He gave you his spirit. He gave you his church. He gave you his wisdom. He's got angels just waiting for you to pray and to seek him. And God has said, I'm waiting to unleash the floodgates of blessing on your life. And no longer will you be defined by your past, because I, God, has empowered you with everything you need to create the kind of life that you want to live, that God has called you to live. And so my heart to you is that you begin to understand what God's empowered you to live. I know in my own life, I still remember what it was like at 22, and I jacked my life up, messed it up, lots of story for another day. But I was so broken and so messed up, and it felt like where I was down in the pit, an unlovable person who had so much shame and guilt, and where I wanted to be felt so far away, I'll never get there. And I watched as I surrendered my life to God little by little. It was a process. I wasn't perfect. But as I once again tried to live a godly life and watch what my eyes saw and how I treated people and what I filled my mind with, and I grew in my knowledge of God and I began to surrender things, I watched God take me from a pit and transform my life and existence. And for those of you that think, I am not enough, can I just tell you something? You're right. You're right, you're not enough. You're not strong enough. You're not wise enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not good enough to change your life. Let's close. No. But listen to this. Listen to this. Hear me. Here's the good news. It was never about you. It's not you against your past or the enemy or your future. It's you and God. See, Jesus said that apart from me, you can do nothing. But here's the thing. God's not apart from you. He's in you. And if you're a child of God, you might not be enough, but you and God are more than enough to overcome everything in your past, everything that you've done or has been done to you. And for too long, there's too many of us sitting back going, God, I want you to change my life, and I want you to change. Why is this, and I hate this, and I hate my life, and we're frustrated. And God's saying, hey, listen, it's a partnership. And if you will do your part, God will do his. God is faithful. And as you begin to live your life, so I want you to see this, please hear me. As you begin to add to your faith moral excellence, God, I'm gonna get this right. As you begin to grow in your knowledge of God, and as you begin to once again self-control or surrender these things to God, can I just tell you something? God's gonna bless everything in your life. He's gonna lead you to his good and pleasing and perfect will. Because God always designed you to flourish and created you to create, but not by yourselves or not by himself, but to do it as a partnership together. And my heart in this series, as we walk through these next few weeks, as we begin to step in and begin to understand, like, God, how can I be faithful in my part? Because I know that if I'm faithful in my part, you are gonna be so faithful in yours. And God is in the business of transforming lives and futures and marriages and children and give you purpose and meaning. And there's nothing that you two of you cannot accomplish together. But God has a part to play and you have a part to play. And as long as you do your part, listen, God will do his. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being so faithful. God, thank you for wanting to partner with us. Freshly empowering us to create our marriages the way that you designed them, our purpose, our families, our businesses, our even emotional health and spiritual health and all of these things you've empowered us to create. Father, I pray that you help me on my journey. You help them on theirs. And God, as they do their part, God, I just pray you step in and do your part and bless their socks off. In Jesus' name we pray.